When other players get paid across the NFL, of course, it's newsworthy, noteworthy. But when it happens, when the market gets reset like this, maybe it's a little bit more of a deal. Good afternoon, everybody. Good Tuesday afternoon, May 14th, 2024 at 3 p.m. Eastern for the Southside Beat. My name is Corey Christen. I am solo today. Chris Halleck is unable to join us. He will reconvene with everybody, including myself, tomorrow on Wednesday. What's good, James says. Well, let me tell you what's good. It's good the players are getting paid across the NFL. And last night into today, a couple of major deals were signed. Now, obviously, nothing's really impacting the Steelers here directly, but I think it's important to note the positions and the markets that are being set now and the precedents that are being set now by teams across the National Football League. When moves like this happen, of course, there's an impact, trickle-down effect. Antoine Winfield Jr. got paid. Jared Goff got paid. Antoine Winfield Jr., of course, star safety for Tampa Bay. 4 years, $84 million. 4 years, $84 million. He is now the NFL's highest paid defensive back. Let me reiterate that, okay? Highest paid defensive back in the league. Antoine Winfield Jr., after a really just solid start to his NFL career. $45 million in guaranteed money. First time in league history that a safety is the highest paid player in, or highest paid at his position as far as defensive backs are concerned. Six forced fumbles. In 2023, 122 tackles, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, 12 passes defended. I mean, those numbers are ridiculous. And he deserved to get paid, and he did get paid. But what this says to me is when you look at what the Steelers have at safety, when you look at the market that is being set at that position, it opens the eyes to having to pay Minkah Fitzpatrick at some point, to having to pay top dollar for that position at some point, should they choose to go that route. And what this says with Antoine Winfield Jr., now this is top-of-the-line stuff when it comes to Winfield. But, sorry, I got a text message, got distracted. This is top-of-the-line money for Antoine Winfield Jr., highest-paid DB in the league as a safety for the first time ever. And they show the value and the position versatility of that. And you think about what Minkah Fitzpatrick does for the Steelers. You think about how he plays everywhere, outside, inside, in the box, deep. He does just about everything for that defense. That's exactly what Winfield does. Now, Winfield obviously does it at a much higher level than Minkah did and does right now. And that's why he got paid as such. But it makes you think about the value of that position. It makes you think about exactly how the Steelers could approach that position in the future in free agency. And maybe even with respect to the trade market. Of course, trading the first rounder for Minkah Fitzpatrick, looking back on it, it's a no-brainer. And yeah, as Mark says, Winfield is special. But so's Minkah. You have to keep that in mind. So's Minkah. I'm looking at top-of-the-line comparisons when it comes to that position. I'm looking at the class of that position. And that's what Winfield is. That's why he got paid, again, as such. And yeah, Brad says it. The price of doing business in the NFL. At some point, the market's going to get reset. At some point, the dollars are going to be allocated in different ways. And now what you're seeing with the value of the safety, you know, we've talked about the quarterback-driven league, right? And you talk about how teams are now compensating on defense for the fact that the quarterbacks are being valued so high and the fact that the running games are starting to make comebacks in some ways. And here's a good point from Mark. If Joey Porter Jr. peaks, he'll break the bank. When you look at somebody with that kind of talent and that kind of build and that kind of size, if Joey Porter Jr. is top of the line with respect to his position, what kind of money could he get? And this is down the road. This is a lot of if has to happen. But 4 years, $84 million with $45 million guaranteed is the highest paid DB in the league. What's that look like in 4 more years or 3 more years, I guess? What does that look like down the road? Minkah's production went down ever since Edmonds left. That's what Joseph says. Arguably agree. And of course, he's dealt with some injury stuff too. So it's hard to put that value on Minka without Edmonds, but also in a general sense from looking at last year because of the injuries. And really, because if you look at some cases with the linebackers being injured, of course, Holcomb and Alexander, when you look at Cam Hayward being injured, Minka kind of had to play out of position in some respects. He had to be, you know, put in the box more often, had to be put in the slot more often, couldn't really go do that kind of thing, you know, that we're used to seeing him do when it's kind of just go make the play, right? It's the go make the play, go find the ball quotient that Minka brings that is so invaluable to this team. And he couldn't really do much of that last year. So with the injury bug, with lack of depth in some cases, he had to play and be kind of anchored at certain positions. So yeah, it's easy to say that about Minka. I think there's also some schematic things that have changed around him as well that have led to that lack of production. And I think it's pretty, clear to see that. DeMond says, sounds like the Steelers need to win a championship as soon as possible before they have to pay Joey Porter Jr. Again, we're looking down the road, way down the road on at least Joey. And even if the Steelers wanted to hit free agency at some point, again, for a top-of-the-line safety, that's the price. That's the price. And yeah, that monetary value is going to go up along with the salary cap, which keeps increasing. It's going to keep going up year to year. And that's easy to lost my mic there. Just look at how the business of the NFL has gone in recent memory with the salary cap just evolving throughout the years. Mark says, with the cap going up as much as it does each year, of course, dudes are getting the bag. It's only fair. Absolutely. They have to get their cut as well. And if they didn't, the players union would have a big problem with that. But again, when you look at this market with safeties, and the Steelers, of course, went to free agency for safeties in the last few years, like, yeah, they had to go and make that move. They had to go do that. So now this is what it's set at. Then you look at the quarterback position. You look at what Detroit just did in rewarding Jared Goff. 4 years, $212 million, $170 million of it guaranteed. He is now one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. 4 years, $212 million, $170 million guaranteed. How often do Chris and I talk about how the Steelers are built right now, are able to do business the way they do business because the quarterback is so affordable and became affordable when Ben Roethlisberger retired. With Kenny Pickett getting drafted, Kenny Pickett obviously gone after 2 years. Now you look at the deals that Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, they didn't pick that fifth-year option up. And you look at Kyle Allen, you look at John Rhys-Plumlee, the quarterback room as a whole is not making much money at all. And the way the Steelers are able to function is because of that function, is because of that. Dark Donnie says, talk about overpaying. Is that an overpay? Really think about it. Is that an overpay? 4 years, 212, 170 guaranteed for Jared Goff. And Lori says, Goff may not be elite. That might be true, but it's the value of the position. It's the cycle that the NFL is in. You have to overpay for a good quarterback, and Goff is a good quarterback. He was arguably the top quarterback in the NFC a couple of years ago and was really darn good again last year, and he led the Lions to the NFC Championship. It just is a reminder that you can't put a high enough price on a quarterback. Mark says he's a playoff quarterback. Yeah, he is. B-Phil says the Steelers are hopefully going to pay a quarterback soon. Yeah, also, they have to do that at some point, and they're going to have to change the model at some point. But if Jared Goff, you know, if you consider, as Lori says, don't even consider Goff elite. If Donnie says overpaying, if they overpaid for a guy that's not elite, what's that tell you about how they value the position? What does that tell you about how the league perceives this position? Brad says the Steelers would take him today. They 100% would. They absolutely would. Is he a better option than Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and Kyle Allen and John Rhys-Plumlee? Absolutely. You take that in a heartbeat. He's been to a Super Bowl. He was in another NFC Championship game. He's a winning quarterback. He's a talented quarterback. He's had a resurgence, of course, in Detroit since LA dumped him off for Matthew Stafford. And by the way, that's kind of worked out for both parties. And Lori says the Steelers are lucky to not be paying big money this year. That's why she wishes they go get a wide receiver. It not paying the quarterback allows you to do that in other spots. Spice Creation says Russell Wilson is a winning quarterback too. He is, or at least he was. We need to see what he has. He hasn't looked good. He has not looked good in his last couple of years, especially out in Denver. So we'll see what the Arthur Smith offense can do. And Ben adds on for no money. Okay, it's a low risk, high reward type of situation. What the reward could be for having Russell Wilson in the building is way up here. The Steelers, put it in that perspective. The Steelers went to the postseason with a fledgling Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph doing what they had to do to keep the position above water. And by the way, Matt Canada was their offensive coordinator for more than half of the season. Like, they went to the playoffs despite, in spite of those circumstances. So yes, you would think the offensive coordinator situation is improved. The quarterback situation, we hope, we think, is improved as well. But that's besides this point of, at some point, the Steelers are going to have to pony up money for a quarterback. And if they find a good one, or maybe Justin Fields a couple years down the road is something special. We don't know that answer right now. And who knows how much Russell Wilson truly has in the tank. I can't envision the Steelers ever paying him 4 years, $212 million with $170 guaranteed for Russell Wilson. Could never envision that. But at the same time, at what point do the Steelers open the wallet back up for a top-of-the-line quarterback? Do they do it in free agency? Is Justin Fields projected to be that someday within the next few years? But that's the price. The Buccaneers set the defensive back market, the safety market specifically, at $84 million with $45 million guaranteed. The Lions just paid Jared Goff, who, in our own chat here, in our own stream, saying is not an elite quarterback, still as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. DeMond says the past couple years, the Steelers have screwed their defense with their offense. Hopefully the offense performs much better this season to give the defense a break. One would hope, right? One would hope. And we've talked about this before on this show. I still am a firm believer, and I will take this to my grave, that the Steelers kept Ben Roethlisberger around too long. He stayed around too long, overstayed his welcome. And that slowed down the process of rebuilding the quarterbacks room. They were kind of pigeonholed into taking Kenny Pickett when they did. Now, it worked out for half of a year, 2 years ago, 2022. Worked out for half of a year, and then last year it fell flat on its face, and he's not in the building anymore. You can't put a price on a good quarterback, and even if Jared Goff is not Patrick Mahomes or one of the elites in the league, he's still a damn good one, and you have to pay the guy. You have to pay the position at some point. Joshua says quarterback is going to be in flux until it's not. Enjoy the season. See what happens. That's right. That's right. That's how it works for every team in the National Football League, though. Your quarterback situation's always in flux until you have the guy. When you have an elite guy, when you have somebody that can guide you to the postseason, your quarterback situation's not in flux. You have a quarterback. You either do or you don't. And when you don't, as Joshua says, you're in flux. You're looking for that guy. You're trying. You're doing trial and error. You're drafting Kenny Pickett 20th. You're rolling Mason Rudolph out when Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett fall flat on their faces. You are doing this search party with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and Kyle Allen. You're completely redoing the room along with the new offensive coordinator. When you don't have it, you don't have it. And you have to keep trying until you do have it. The Steelers for 18 years had it with Ben Roethlisberger. They had it. And now they don't. And that's why they're doing this the way they're doing this. Toddy says Edmonds allowed Mankin to do his thing. It hasn't been the same since. Going back to the safety discussion, that's also true. That's very true. The way the defense was going. And I think Deshaun Elliott's going to help alleviate some of that. He's certainly an upgrade over Keanu Neal. He's certainly an upgrade, I think, over KZ as well. But having Edmonds and the way that he was able to play back there allowed Mankin to be free. And the Steelers didn't have that last year. They didn't have that last year. Now, Minka's not going to make $84 million on 4 years on another contract. That's just not going to happen again. But should the day come where Deshaun Elliott, Minka Fitzpatrick need to get paid, or they have to go back onto the market for a safety, then they're going to, that's the price. That's the dollar value. They, that would have to be paid to get a top of the line safety. Now, would the Steelers do that? Who knows? But also, would we have been able to sit here 1 year ago after Cole Holcomb, Quan Alexander were brought into the building and Atlanta Roberts were brought into the building and say that the Steelers were going to set the market in free agency at linebacker to go along with Patrick Queen? Would we have been able to sit here a year ago and say that? No. No, we wouldn't have. So just keep in mind all of that. This is the direction the league is going. If you remember some of our discussions that we've had here, it's not necessarily what we think the league's going to do. It's what the league is telling us it's going to do, right? We could sit here until the cows come home talking about what might happen. This is what's happening. Safety just got paid. Not an elite quarterback, as it's said here, just got paid. People in the live chat here, remember, we're live every Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern here on DK Pittsburgh Sports for the Southside Beat on YouTube. And then later in podcast form on Playback for audio only. It's available on dkpittsburghsports.com. It's available on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, and of course, right here live at 3 Eastern, Monday through Friday on YouTube. I'm Corey Christen, flying solo today. No Chris Halleck today. And it's a good time to go to the chat. Get some questions in. It's a good time to do it. Joshua says, be here, be square. Tell that to Chris. He has some obligations to fulfill today, which is okay. Which is okay. Ben says the ramifications of that first half in Buffalo were enormous in hindsight. That end zone pick had massive impact. Isolated game, but of course, I know exactly what you're talking about. Michael says, devil's advocate, would you feel better if it was Adonai Mitchell and Van Pran instead of Frazier and Roman Wilson? We had this discussion a little bit in brief after the draft, and even before the draft, talking about the weighing of these draft picks and thinking about, would you rather? Now, the Steelers could have had A.D. Mitchell and Frazier. Keep that in mind. I believe A.D. Mitchell, was Mitchell picked in the third round? I don't remember off the top of my head. Was Mitchell the pick after Frazier or the pick after Wilson? I legitimately don't remember. So somebody could please enlighten me within our chat. It's the beauty of having a live chat sometimes. You all are a huge help. Get your questions in. Good time to do it. We got about 10-ish minutes of show left, so feel free to fire away. The schedule comes out tomorrow. No word as of right now on what the Steelers are doing week one, week two, any week right now. Okay, so Mitchell was in the second round. So that would have been the pick right after Frazier. The Colts took him. That's right, because the Colts took Matt Consolvis, tackle out of Pitt, in the third round. So thank you for that. So devil's advocate. Good question, again, from Michael. Would you rather have Mitchell and Van Pran or Frazier and Wilson? Now, Van Pran went in the fifth round, which was way later than I thought he was going to go. Van Pran went to Buffalo in the fifth round. Now, in hindsight, of course, the Steelers aren't going to reach that high. But at the same time, what if they went after, let's say it's even Jaxon Powers-Johnson or A.D. Mitchell? I think the question really here is, would you rather have A.D. Mitchell or Roman Wilson? And of course, you'd rather have A.D. Mitchell, but I would take Zach Frazier over any other center. I think they got the right center. And Mark says, I'll take Wilson. Here's the thing about Roman Wilson, too, is he gives the Steelers what they needed from the slot receiver standpoint, from a toughness standpoint, from a blocking standpoint, from a outside of the box score standpoint. He gives the Steelers all of that. Mitchell's a great playmaker. I don't want to downplay his ability at all. They needed a center too, as Bob said. Like, if they didn't draft Zach Frazier there, then what would they have done? They didn't do it in free agency. Yeah, maybe they would have taken one in the third round, but then you don't get Peyton Wilson, maybe? Like, I'd have to go back and look at the NFL draft order. I think this is a good time to do that. Let me pull up the NFL draft order Because I love this question. I love this question. I love the debate. I love the if-then scenarios that could get played out. So the Steelers took Frazier at 51. The Colts took Adonai Mitchell at 52. Let's see interior offensive linemen that went after those picks. And spoiler alert, Caden Wallace at 68 out of Penn State, at 68 to the Patriots out of Penn State. Isaiah Adams out of Illinois at 71 to the Cardinals. Cooper Beebe, guard out of Kansas State, 73 to the Cowboys. Still scrolling. Delmar Glaze out of Maryland, 77th. Seahawks took UConn's Christian Haynes at 81. And the Steelers got Roman Wilson at 84. The Browns took Zach Zinter out of Michigan at 85. Dominic Puny out of Kansas went to the 49ers at 86, a guard. After that, up until Peyton Wilson, no other interior linemen were taken. But you listen to all those names, and the Steelers weren't looking at any of them. They weren't scouting any of them that we know of. This was what they were going to do all along. There were no discussions about, or at least meetings. I can't say discussions. But there were no meetings held with any of those other players that were just mentioned. So I think this, it's safe to say, with Frazier and Wilson, the Steelers feel that they did right by them. They did right. Tenchi says, I love the players we got. We get the best grade in the whole draft. Depends on where you go, but yeah, largely pretty highly ranked. James Moody says, do you see McCormick taking snaps at center? No, I do not. Now, I see him being able to play center if absolutely needed. I think that's going to be Nate Herbig's role this year is the backup center. I think drafting McCormick allows Herbig to firmly be placed as the backup center. And yeah, James Daniels can snap as well, so can McCormick. But I think now what this affords the Steelers is the luxury, I'll use that word, of having a true backup center. They could use Herbig in more reps at center. What I would do, if I had the pencil, so to speak, if I had the say in any of this, I would have Spencer Anderson as the full-time left or right guard, probably right guard, and I would have McCormick in as a natural left guard. Now, as we discussed coming out of the rookie minicamp, McCormick was playing right guard. So do they see McCormick in relation to James Daniels? Do we see McCormick as that insurance policy given James Daniels is entering free agency next year? It's kind of easy to say that right now because we just saw him play a lot of right guard in rookie minicamp. And yeah, so if Spencer Anderson moves to left guard, sure. That keeps Herbig at center full-time, or the big or, it would allow Spencer Anderson to play center full-time. You could play Herbig at left guard. I mean, it gives the Steelers options. It genuinely does. The McCormick pick does. Was it a surprise in moment? Yes. His pick was a surprise in moment. Joshua says McCormick's our 2025 right guard. It's very possible right now. It's very, very possible right now that McCormick is the 2025 right guard. Depends on what happens with Daniels. Depends on the money. Depends on a lot. But at minimum, what we could sit here and say in the middle of May in 2024 about 2025 with Mason McCormick is that he is an insurance policy. He's a just in case they need him. And just in case scenario XYZ happens with James Daniels. That's what this is about. More questions, please. We love that. Great question from James. Great discussion point. And as James brings up, I like Herbig as the backup center. I think that's a good spot for him. I really do. He took backup snaps at center last year. He took snaps at center last year when Mason Cole was struggling, when they needed to figure out that position, so to speak. He took snaps there. And yeah, he could play the position pretty well. So I also like that. Who will be the backup center, DeMond says. Very important to have one established. Worry about Zach Frazier getting hurt near the end of the season, especially because of the broken leg. He swears he's healthy. He swears he's healthy. On draft night, I even said, I was the one asked the question about his knee, saying, hey, man, You got hurt late in the season. It was a pretty ugly injury. Like, at the NFL Combine, when it was offensive lineman interview day over in Indianapolis, I was one of the, I think it was only Steelers media, to be honest. It was maybe a couple like Tampa Bay or other reporters covering other teams, like maybe two, but it was largely Pittsburgh media. We waited almost 2 hours to speak to Zach Frazier at the NFL Combine, not because of Frazier, but because of teams wanted to see his medicals. Teams wanted to vet both of his knees, not just the injured knee, but both of his knees coming out of the combine. So teams did their homework on him. The Steelers certainly did their homework on it. And he said, draft night, I asked the question, are you healthy, basically? And he said he's 100% healthy. So I don't think he's concerned about the knee. It doesn't sound like there's concern about the knee. But again, when you have that kind of history, you never know. You really never know. John says, any surprise cuts this season? I don't think we'll see any surprise cuts. I put that in air quotes, until training camp. I don't think we'll see any of those until the Trobe happens. I'm really curious about the defensive line in the wide receivers room. This is plural. Like, we talked yesterday, Chris and I did, about DeMarvin Leal and Isaiah Loudermilk. Are either of those guys on the block? What about the receivers room? I don't think Calvin Austin is on the block, but like Callaway, some of that end of the bench depth at receiver. I don't know on that spectrum. Any other cut candidates that might be a surprise? Mark Robinson certainly is. I mean, where does he fit? Queen, Wilson, Roberts, Holcomb. Where does he fit? There's nowhere for Mark Robinson to go right now. John says, is there a chance Spencer Anderson starts camp as a starting center with Zach number two? Great question. I don't foresee that. I don't think, number one, the Steelers would use the 54th pick on a center if they didn't plan on playing him. Number two, I just don't think Spencer Anderson has gotten enough reps in as a true center. He was more of a guard last year, and I think in some special team scenarios, he was at tackle. He's not a true center. He can play it, but he's not a true center. So I don't see that in the cards for him right now. Crazier things have happened, though, right? Crazier things have happened, but I don't think that happens. Unmitigated Disaster says, do you faith Corey Trice could ever stay healthy and develop into a starter? Health's so hard to project, isn't it? But when you have an injury history like he does, I understand where that question would come from. I think he can stay healthy. I think he can develop into something. I don't know about developing into a starter. Like, I understand he was a seventh-round pick largely because of his health and because he had a bad knee injury, a couple bad knee injuries, actually. But so did Peyton Wilson. And Peyton Wilson was drafted in the third round. It was a top 100 pick. Like, I think it's easy to forget. Sixth and seventh-round picks, especially in the seventh, are picked there because they're missing something. They're missing pieces of their game that need to be developed. There's something there that makes them stand out and makes them NFL caliber players, but also there's something there that doesn't click, that doesn't exactly make them that kind of caliber player, or else they would be third or fourth rounders, or second and third rounders, or first and second rounders, or first rounders. Like, Peyton Wilson had the knee injury history as well at NC State, but he was a college football defensive player of the year last year. He was so good. And NC State, turn the tape on. I can't count on Corey Trice developing into a starter right now. Could it happen? There's always potential. Always potential. But seventh round picks are kind of like priority free agents. You kind of like, you pick him so you don't have to get in the bidding war for undrafted free agency. Same with Spencer Anderson. That's also why they drafted Spencer Anderson. Like, for versatility along the offensive line, but also because they value that kind of thing, so they didn't have to get in a bidding war with Team Y over his services. Pretty simple. So no, I don't see that. Joshua says, can Mark Robinson be an edge rusher with his size and speed? We all know he's a liability in coverage. I think that's a likely route for him when the time comes for training camp. Like, the edge depth behind Watt and Highsmith, Like, having Marcus Gold there last year was awesome for that room, and having him to help Nick Herbig develop was awesome. Like, having him as a fourth edge rusher, maybe. I think he's certainly more likely to move to edge. Remember last year, the want for Nick Herbig to move to inside linebacker, that lasted about 5 seconds before Terrell Austin and Nick Herbig shot that down. I remember that. I believe Wilson had the knee issue in high school and college. I believe it was twice that happened. And he did have shoulder issues. Any chance an undrafted free agent makes the team over a late round pick? Asked John. I think Edwards, the running back from Georgia, has a really good chance at making it. I think the running back from Georgia, Edwards, has a really good chance at it. I'm really curious to see how he looks in training camp. Good stuff today, everybody. Thanks for joining along for this 30-minute program. We appreciate you. Chris will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is schedule release day, but we won't have the schedule tomorrow. We'll have it tomorrow at 8 p.m. We'll have it for you Thursday right here on this program. So to find out what that schedule is going to be, you're going to want to stay tuned to DKPittsburghSports.com and our feed. If you've not downloaded the app, please do so. It's 100% free on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Download it. Subscribe if you have not yet. We appreciate that as well. But those notifications for your favorite teams are 100% free to sign up for. You don't have to have an account to find out any alerts from the Steelers or any alerts from the Pirates or the Penguins or any of your favorite team based in Pittsburgh. We do all that for you. And yeah, Bob says, I want the schedule now. I don't want it to be released at 8 p.m. I want it to be released at high noon when I'm good and ready. Is there a Ramon show today? Unsure. I don't think so because DK's in Milwaukee doing Pirates baseball. And yeah, Randy says it here. The app is amazing. Take Randy's word for it. The app is amazing. Super clean, super easy to use, super functional. It's really right there for you. Thank you all for joining. My name is Corey Christen. This has been the Southside Beat on a Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers, everybody. Have a great day.